Chapter 5, Comparing Ratios. This is a real payoff chapter. You're going to see applications of the topics and techniques discussed in this chapter appearing in the daily news. And there, the chapter has some really powerful items in it that can be very confusing. Turn to slide 2. Brief review again. We're looking at the influences on the statistics that support arguments. Context. Confounding is a big one. That's what we're working on in chapters 4, 5, and 6. Slide 3. Context. What do we take into account, either by selection or by various devices such as ratios? We did ratios in the last chapter. Now we're talking about comparisons of ratios. Extremely powerful. Combination. You're taking into account two factors. The size of some relevant basis for the comparison and the size of the groups involved. We're pushing the English grammar to the very limits. Slide 4. We're going to cover 3 topics from the chapter. We don't have time to cover all the topics. The big 3, in my opinion, are, number 1, percent attributable. You don't see this in the newspaper often, but you see the results, such as deaths from secondhand smoke, obesity, radon. These don't appear in any coroner's report. There are no bodies that are specifically identified as having died from radon or obesity or secondhand smoke, yet we have these numbers. Where do they come from? You're going to discover how they're calculated and how they're really, under the hood, just an association between ratios. There's nothing causal about them. They're model-based. I like to think of them as speculative statistics. Second topic, racial comparisons. Let me give you an example. I don't know if you realize, but widowers are a lot able to take the death of a spouse than widows are. Men are just more capable, more self-reliant than the little ladies are. You may be thinking, oh no, most men don't know how to run the stove. They don't know how to cook. They don't know how to clean. They don't know how to take care of themselves. I'm saying, I've got data. Look at this data here. Widows are more likely to be found among suicide than widowers. Doesn't that support my conclusion? Well, let's look at this other statistic. Widows are more likely to suicide, to commit suicide, than widowers. Are these two different ways of saying the same thing, or do they say different things? You realize the first one, widowers are more likely to be found among suicides. They're just more women. As you get older, the guys have died. And so there are more women who are widows that could commit suicide than there are men. Whereas the second form, widows are more likely to commit suicide than widowers. That's a different matter. That second form takes into account the difference in size between the two groups. The truth of the first doesn't support my wild-eyed conjecture, but the second one, if that were true, it does. Realizing there's two kinds of comparisons here, what I call a distinct part and a common part comparison. The last topic is comparing ratios using likely grammar. Well, we just saw examples of that. Let's move on to slide 5. First topic, percent attributable. So what's the idea? By attributable, attributed, we mean it is associated with, it is connected with in some way, but it's not directly. Yeah, in human terms, we'd say something was attributable to a high-ranking person, but we can't quote them on it. But it's related to them in some way. Most people think of attributed or attributable to as being the same as due to or because of, which kind of takes us into gray territory, which some people use to cross over into caused by. There is nothing that supports caused by in what we're talking about. Let me give you some examples in slide 6. You know that 38% of the low birth weight babies born to moms who smoke are attributable 38% of these babies are attributable to the smoking. And that a third of all private medical costs, a fifth of Medicare medical costs, are attributed to smoking. And it's like, well, how do they do this? Or 9% of our annual medical spending is attributable to being overweight or obese. It's like, well, do we keep track of the expenses that are related strictly to being overweight and obese? No, no. It's done in an entirely different way. Turn to slide 7. Here's how we do it. Consider this one case. Look at the graph at the bottom. We've got data, deaths due to lung cancer, two groups. Smokers. 2% of the non-smokers died in a given year due to lung cancer. Whereas among the smokers, 20% of the deaths among the smokers involved lung cancer. Now, just because we have all these deaths among the smokers, do we say that 20% of the deaths are due to lung cancer? Well, we really don't want to say that, because some of the non-smokers die. No, it's the excess, the 20 take away the 2, the 18 points. That's what we say is attributable to being a smoker. And when we take that 18 over the 20, 90%, as shown in the pie chart in the lower right, we say that 90% of the deaths among the smokers are attributable to their smoking. 90% of these deaths, the lung cancer deaths among the smokers, are attributable to the smoking. That's an incredible statement, because it sets us up to think it's due to the smoking and maybe it's caused by the smoking. So anytime you see one of these speculative statistics not supported by coroner data, premature deaths, deaths due to obesity, radon, secondhand smoke, no. That's speculative statistics based on an association that you've just learned how to do here. Second topic, types of comparisons of ratios. We've got two types in slide 8. A common part comparison and a distinct part comparison. A common part, two different holes. So here we'd say whites are more likely than blacks to commit suicide. Whites would be one pie. A slice would be committing suicide. We have a second pie, blacks. They have a pie. Suicide is a slice within them. We've got two pies having a common slice, a common part. This is a very powerful comparison. Compares for the different sizes of the group. The second kind of comparison is a distinct parts comparison, where they have a common whole. Thieves are more likely to steal a Nissan than to steal a Ford. So we look at all the cars that thieves steal as a whole. And what fraction of these are Nissan, what fraction of these are Fords? Okay? Now, this doesn't take into account the size of different groups. We've only got one group, so it isn't nearly as valuable. But the second is often confused with the first. Take a look at slide 9 to see this in more detail. Another common part comparison. As we said, it controls for the size of the groups. Among men, suicide is more likely among the whites than among the blacks. You can see the two pies, whites, blacks, both having slices. Now, these aren't drawn to any scale or representative of anything. We're showing you how it's a common part. Whereas the distinct part is at the bottom. It's a single group. There's really no control for size. Among college students, men are more likely to be found than are art majors. Strange comparison, but you can compare lots of things. We take the college students as the pie. A certain fraction of them are men, not drawn to scale. A certain fraction are art majors. And we're comparing the sizes of those two slices, distinct parts within a single pie. Let's see how this works out in slide 10 by looking at tables. You've seen this table before. You recognize it as a column table. The columns add up to 100%. And just to review, how do we describe that 60% in the upper left-hand corner? 60% of the nearest whole, males, are part business majors. Got it. Supposing we're comparing the 60 with the 20. They have distinct wholes, males versus females. They have the same part, business majors. That's a common part comparison. Now we compare the 60 with the 30 in the left-hand column. They have the same whole. They involve different parts. This is a distinct parts comparison. You can do it, but comparing the ratios is no different than comparing the underlying counts. It doesn't produce any benefit. Third topic, likely grammar, slide 11. Let's look at how we would do the same table using likely grammar. We'd say business majors are more likely among the males than among the females. Among males says you've got one group. Among females, another group. Among is trump. Tells you you've got a whole. Another way of saying that is males are more likely to be business majors than females are to be business majors. We leave off the to be business majors the second time. We may even leave off the R. And the R could be either a leading R, like then are females, or a trailing R, then females are. Whereas a distinct part comparison, comparing the 60 and 20, would say that, comparing the 60 and the 30, is the business majors are more likely among the males than the MIS majors are among the males. And we leave off the second among the males as redundant, and we may leave off the R. So what about this likely grammar? What are the rules for it? This is a very different grammar. It's very common. Rule 1 on slide 12. Among always indicates a whole. No change there. 2. Indicates a part. Maybe an action verb, or it may be to do, to have. There'll be one exception coming up later, but generally, likely to indicates the part. Now, with just those first two rules, we can take in some examples and see how this is going to work. Turn to slide 12. We'll come back to slide 11. There are two basic forms for a common part comparison. The first uses among, the second uses likely to. And the first one doesn't have a to. You start off with the part, and you'd say, business majors are more likely among men than among women. The part comes first, among, comparing it with a test group, whole, and then than or as, depending on the type of comparison, among the base whole group. The second kind of comparison starts with the test whole, involves likely to introducing the part. So here we'd say men are more likely to be business majors. That's the part. Than are women. Two kinds of comparisons. Now, in these cases, think of how we'd have to do it in reverse. And take a look at slide 13. People who put away 6 cloves of garlic a week are about half as likely to get stomach cancer as those who rarely touch the pungent bulb. We're trying to figure out what's part and whole here. We're looking for among and to, the first two rules we had back on slide 12. We don't see among, but we see likely to. We say, oh, likely to get stomach cancer. That's the part. And the subject, people who put away 6 cloves of garlic a week, is the test, whole. And after the comparison indicator, as, the second as, actually, those who rarely touch the pungent bulb, that's the base whole. Look at the second one. It's another example with likely to, no among. And again, we say likely to get pregnant. That's the part. We have here married women using IUD as a primary form of birth control are 50% more likely to get pregnant. This is more complex for those age 15 to 19 than for those age 20 to 24. In this case, everyone is a married woman, and the 15 to 19-year-old are the test group of married women using IUDs as a primary form of birth control. And those 20 to 24 are the base comparison. Take the third one. Again, we've got a likely to. Catholics were six times as likely to own a gun. That's the part. And we've got two holes. Test hole is Catholics, as were Jews. Base hole. The fourth one doesn't involve likely to. It involves a synonym, prevalent. There's no two, there's an among. Here we see that blacks are whole, Hispanics are whole, and there's got to be a part in here someplace. Now, where did that come from? Look back on slide 11. Rule 3. A part whole compare must have at least three terms. There must be at least one part. There must be at least one whole. So, in the example we're working with, back on slide 14, we had blacks, that was one item. Hispanics is another, they're both wholes. We've got voting for president. That must be the part. We can squeeze that out using Rule 3. Now, Rule 4 says that sometimes when you can't tell what's going on, you look at what's linked, has the same form. So we have the subject is something as something else is. And we can see that it's linked with the subject. Whatever the subject is, this predicate must match with it. Finally, Rule 5, there's one exception on likely to. And that's what it is followed by likely to occur, likely to happen, likely to be found. It doesn't really take you anyplace new. There's no new term. It's another way of just taking you back to the subject of the sentence. In these cases, likely to indicates that the subject of the sentence is a part. So this is a quick overview of the rules on likely grammar. Slide 15, what's taken into account can influence things. Counts are totals, averages, percentages, or rates. Part-whole ratios are really a common way of taking into account things, and comparisons of part-whole ratios, such as likely grammar, are very powerful. It's a two-for-one. They standardize the groups of different size, and they compare the test and the base, as we did previously. Thank you.